on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help, you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Travolting presents Bobbin for Robin. Hosted by Jeff Sweeney and Stuart Elmore. Covering The Secret Agent. Enjoy the episode.
What do you know about Verloc?
What do I know about what?
What do you know about Verloc?
Howdy, everybody.
This is already too high energy for this.
Welcome movie. Back to Travolting Presents The Secret Agent. Agents. Thank you all for listening to our last week's episode on Jack.
Yeah.
where we had
yes, and the
I can't even describe what that episode was like.
The canon of great secret agents. It's like James Bond, Ethan Hunt,
Jason Bourne,
Verloc.
Verloc,
who does not have a last name.
He does not have a last
name. Or is Verloc his last name and we don't know his first name? It's one of the
two. Who fucking cares? How did you watch this movie, Jeff?
Oh my God, you're right into it. So this is one of our favorite things on Travolting is when we have a movie that like just is indiscoverable.
Yeah.
Like it's not like streaming anywhere. It's not rentable anywhere. Like the DVD is out of print.
Yeah.
So I had to sign up for my local public library, get a digital card through my public library.
Yeah.
Then sign up for an account for the streamer Hoopla. Using my library card. And with this Hoopla account, I was able to, for 3 days, borrow the digital file for this movie, which was uploaded to Hoopla with the wrong poster.
Yes.
The poster says, The Secret Things of God, which is not what this movie is. But the movie did play. It was the correct movie, and it played all the way through.
And I thank you for giving me your Hoopla account.
My Hoopla
just kidding.
Login.
I also registered with, my public library.
Password sharing Netflix is out of vogue, but we're into password sharing Hoopla.
Can we sidebar about libraries?
Yeah, they're great.
Like, I'm trying to think of, like, we live in a very high, tense political time right
yes.
now. And there's a lot of, like, causes around, a lot of justifiable righteous causes that people should be supporting and all that stuff, like funding NPR and a bunch of other stuff. I've not heard a peep from the library community.
I've heard a lot from the library community.
Interesting.
It's a big thing. They're cutting funding for libraries and it's a major problem.
But this one's like, it's happening quietly.
It's happening quietly because like like the concept of the local library isn't something that like big newspapers are concerned about. Because they're kind of in like a high tech sphere, but the library is still like a very important place for a lot of people. The elderly, people with less means.
Yeah.
And funding is being substantially cut and a lot of libraries are being closed across the country. As a result of the war on
education.
The war on
free rights.
Critical thinking.
Or critical thinking. Democracy.
The war on thinking.
Morality.
Don't think the AI can do it for you. Is like the essentially what the current administration is proposing.
Yeah. God damn.
But anyway, speaking of libraries, we got this.
Speaking about righteous causes and high tense political landscapes, let's talk about terrorist group. the secret agents.
This movie's not even about a terrorist group. Is the
good?
That save
so good.
That's good save.
That was a good save. Is it empty?
No, it's still a little in there.
Oh, okay.
This movie's like not about a terrorist. It's about like
what is it about?
Okay, here's the thing. I kind of like this movie. I thought it was a solid 7 out of 10. Moderately entertaining. It's 92 minutes long or something.
I feel like one of the highest bars for you, Jeff, is length.
It's not that bar for me. It is like a curve, kind of.
When I see,
I am more accepting of a 90-minute like okay movie than I am a 3-hour okay movie.
Because that's the thing. It's like whenever I take a look at like, you know, the groupings of movie lengths: hour and a half, 2 hours, 2.5, 3. Mm-hmm. Anything over 3, it's like, you know, you're getting to like your Lord of the Rings, your Bravehearts, and all that stuff. But like hour and a half, 2, 2.5, 3, right?
Yeah.
I find that like where the middle of the road ratings come in, like the 6s and the 7s and a couple 8s too. Yeah. There's a lot of them in the hour and a half group.
Yes.
And then the moment you get to 2, 2.5 and above, you either give them like a 9 or a 10 or a 5 or 4. Not a lot of in between. Is that very accurate?
I mean, it really depends. There's some 90 minute movies that are like the best. Like Dr. Strangelove is like 93 minutes long. Mm-hmm. Something like that. And that's like a perfect masterpiece.
Oh, like, and I should clarify, you definitely have 9s and 10s in the 90 minute range. I'm just saying like where that middle of the road tapers off is like once you get to
it's just ultimately I do think like when it comes to length, I'm much more forgiving of a movie since if the movie's shorter, because like then I'm just, it's 90 minutes of my day. I committed to this thing and I'm more willing to like kind of be like, oh, well, you know, there's stuff in there.
All this to say, I don't think you actually like this movie.
No, I did. I did actually like this movie. Okay. Like, I'm not gonna say it's the best movie I ever saw, but it was like, I thought it was like.
See, ladies and gentlemen, pay attention here. This is where it starts.
This is where the spin begins.
This is where the spin begins.
The fix is in, guys.
It wasn't the best movie we ever saw.
It was okay. I liked it more than most people seem to have.
Most people, like the three people who've watched it on Hoopla.
It's got like an ending where like Bob Hoskins is just like mowing down roast beef and she's just like kind of muttering about it. Oh, I didn't mean to kill my brother. Oh, no, I'm sorry about it. I'm like, God. It's kind of the end of this movie. And I'm like, I'm very into that.
Yeah.
How much he was like every time you cut to him, he had more roast beef in his hand. It was like, it was crazy.
He did. And you know, so The Secret Agent came out in 96. By the way, the Wikipedia is hilariously short.
Yeah, no, there's no plot summary, and there's a request on the Wikipedia.
The article needs
a plot summary. April 2024. It has been a year and a half. You have not written the plot summary yet.
Oh my god!
Should I write the plot summary?
Yeah, that could be a good project.
In April of 2024, someone just went into this Wikipedia is like, this is woefully inadequate, and added a bunch of requests for someone to expand.
They wanted to do maybe they were doing like a project on like, you know, terrorism in Hollywood media, and they're like, well, that you gotta watch The Secret Agent 96.
Yeah.
Like, I keep saying terrorism because like it does seem to be like one of the, even though it is like more like espionage and anarchy, but like there is like a terrorist element to
the movie. Robin Williams plays the terrorist.
He does,
which is the strange thing about this movie.
Okay, I'm going to say something maybe a little controversial. Yeah. Is Robin Williams actually pretty good in this movie?
No, he's great in this movie. Everybody's good in this movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone's pretty
good
in this movie.
Even, God help him, Christian Bale is like fine in this movie. Like, is what he's doing correct? Wow,
this is a disaster.
Am I into what Christian Bale is doing in this movie? Not necessarily, but he's like fine. Like, he's not bad.
Yeah, he's not.
It's not simple. It's not Jack-esque.
I have been talking to the cops, have you, mate?
Yeah, so... Because Christian Bale plays a mentally handicapped man. Yes. I'll leave it there.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
It's like, it's not Simple Jack, thankfully.
It's
like,
not Simple Jack.
Isn't it funny that like...
That is the bar.
That Tropic Thunder is like kind of the... Like, it kind of provided a lot of just like... like names you can use.
Right, yeah. Well,
like if you describe an actor as like being like Kirk Lazarus or Simple Jack, like... It weirdly works.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of who was we covered. There was another like problematic actor that we covered that we didn't. That wasn't one of our coverings.
We talked about Robert De Niro in
No, it was earlier than that. It was like Rob Lowe in.
Oh,
what movie?
What movie was that? What? Do I even want to remember what movie that was?
That was the experience of like, oh God,
oh,
no,
it was like Winona's
stop,
like second or third movie or something.
Yeah, it was like make it stop, go away, go away, go away. It was like it was pretty abysmal from if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah.
I'm looking back on it right now. I'm having trouble finding it. It was definitely like early 90s, late 80s, like because it was young. It was young Rob Lowe, I think, from what I remember.
It was like Winona's like second or third movie.
Square Dance.
Square Dance.
Square Dance. Found it. He plays Rory. Oh, right, because he's like the problematic element of that was like he's mentally handicapped, but he's also like 29 and she's 13.
Yes.
That was like the big like, oh no, like. It's like, but he's mentally handicapped, so he's probably like the same age. I'm like, no, 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 stop. I'm just looking at the stills from Square Dance. And like, Winona's such a baby.
She was a baby in that.
Okay.
Verloc.
Verloc.
That's my impression of
Bob Hoskins plays the titular protagonist, Verloc. This is based off of spy fiction novel written by Joseph Conrad.
It's based on a book written by Joseph Conrad, who is known for his Hero of a Thousand, Heart of Darkness. I'm getting mixed up with Heart of Darkness, which becomes Apocalypse Now.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a lot of movies about like
a lot of books that became movies.
I'm so tired.
It's okay.
He wrote a
it's
lot
right.
of books about, you know, deconstructing kind of like Britain around the turn of the century.
Yeah.
And Heart of Darkness is about like, you know, British in the Congo. This movie's about London and gets kind of all these like this crime and like the degradation of British society. My favorite part in this movie is when Jim Broadbent is just like, you used to know where you stood with an honest thief and now crime is just becoming awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that every single crime movie is about like the cop going, you used to know where you stood with criminals. I'm like, at what point did we stand with criminals?
Yeah.
We're establishing this is like 1880.
Yeah.
Because I just watched, like you watch The Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. There's this like, you used to have honest thieves.
I'm
going to
give this town a new kind of criminal. Like,
no, Eric Roberts is just like, there used to be honest criminals in this town. We used to have respect.
Criminals.
And I'm like, well, there seemingly weren't honest criminals in 1880. So.
Oh my God.
Like I get it.
It's
but
actually really funny.
Yeah, it is funny that the sliding scale of honesty of criminals.
Yeah. Patricia Arquette.
Yes. Movie stars Bob Hoskins, Patricia Arquette, Gerard Depardieu in a weirdly high billing for his minimal kind of screen time.
Very minimal.
And then Christian Bale and an uncredited Robin Williams, who is in this movie a lot more than I thought he would be.
I was going to say he's uncredited, but like he finishes out the movie.
He is like a substantial element of the movie. It's not like when I saw Robin Williams as the professor uncredited, I'm like, he's gonna be in like one scene.
Yeah,
he's in like a decent chunk of the movie.
Yeah,
he's like, the first face you see, mm-hmm. and he's the last face you see.
Yes, and because I was going to say, like, what is the age gap between Patricia Arquette and Bob Hoskins?
I can find out.
Should we?
She's born in 68, and he was born 42, so 26 years. I mean, it's 1880. This happens.
Yeah, I guess
this is like quite like a very common occurrence before modern society.
I suppose so.
This is like basically how you.
But
would
this
normally.
Is like a 96 film, though. It's like how accurate do you really have to be? But
this is like basically just how you would do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. And yeah, like this movie was released. Even though it seems like almost impossible to find, it did get a theatrical release, but only on like also, six.
You know, Bob Hoskins was like
six.
You want to be my bride?
Like, yeah, sign me up.
yeah, I mean Bob Hoskins with that accent.
Bob Hoskins is like capital M man is like his.
Oh
thing.
Yeah,
is like not. I don't mean like in like a macho way. I just mean like you look at Bob Hoskins like that is a guy.
He is,
that is a dude.
He is like the peak form of masculinity.
Like any of these movies he pops up in, he's just kind of like
I will not hear any more any slander. Like he is peak masculinity.
Have you ever watched him talking about Mario?
I've seen the clip, yes, where he's like what was the interview? It's like
I got the clip right here.
Okay.
I'm attaching to the soundboard.
Okay, good.
As we speak. You're gonna hear it. Momentarily. There it is.
Amazing combination of toppings.
Just dominoes.
I didn't even know it was a guy. It was my kids that told me. Well, I said, what's your next film? I'm doing Super Mario Brothers. Oh, that's the game. Oh, what? Yeah, here. And this is you. And I saw this thing jumping up and down. I thought, I used to play King Lear.
Oh, my God.
I used to play King Lear.
Peak masculinity right there.
We talked about him before. He was in Hook.
Yeah.
Very good in that.
Oh, like one of his best roles.
It's pretty good. He's very good in that.
He's very good in Hook. He's one
we
of
talked
the
about
many...
him before that because he's in the Travolta Eyes of an Angel.
God.
The...
Two of a Kind?
No, it's the one where he is an angel and he comes to Earth, which is also Two of a Kind.
Oh, my God. Drenched in sweat.
That's right. There are two movies where he comes to Earth as an angel.
Okay.
That's the one with Bill Hurt and Annie McDowell. Remember this?
I'm
blanking on the name. Michael. It's just called Michael.
Oh, right. Yeah. Remember Michael?
Michael. This one with the crazy poster with the dog in the corner for no
Why
reason.
Why is he smiling like that? Whoever took that picture needs to be fired.
But Bob Hoskins, friend of the show. What a guy.
What a guy. What a guy. This movie bored me to tears.
I was pretty into it.
I just wanted to play Red Dead 2. I've been getting into Red Dead 2. I know the game has been out for a while.
It's been out since 2018.
So, like, it's... 7 years. The game's been out for 7 years.
Do you know that Bob Hoskins reprised his role as Mr. Smee in a 2011 miniseries called Neverland?
That tracks.
Look at him.
Wow.
Old Bob Hoskins playing Mr. Smee.
Yeah, so this movie... I mean, what is there to say about it? Bob Hoskins plays... this guy who is involved in this conspiracy that's being like orchestrated by Robin Williams.
Yo, this looks crazy.
He's the professor.
Bob Hoskins as Buff Geppetto in a Pinocchio movie.
Okay, send me that link later after this. Send me the link.
The thing about Pinocchio.
Send me the link.
The thing about Pinocchio is you watch Pinocchio in that movie. It's just you watch any Pinocchio and it's just like, it's me, I'm a Geppetto. I'm making a little wooden boy because I don't have a son.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna get
eaten by a whale. And he's just like, I'm going to make a Geppetto.
Make a Pinocchio.
My boy died in a fire many years ago.
Time
to make a new boy. Time to make a real boy.
Pinocchio, don't lie.
Pinocchio.
I want to make you a real boy.
You can't go to Pleasure Island, Pinocchio.
Pinocchio.
Are we making a new Ben Mendelsohn bit right here, but with Bob Hoskins?
No,
is that what we're doing?
You can't make a new Ben Mendelsohn bit. That has to come naturally.
I have been talking to the cops, have you, mate?
But Bob Hoskins, yeah, he's
just looking through Bob
Hoskins'
IMDb
right now. In this conspiracy that's being like orchestrated and fronted by
he plays Rob Williams. J. Edgar Hoover in the 1995 Nixon movie, he's like incredible.
That's great, Jeff. And Rob Williams plays, he's credited as the professor, but help me. Is there a scene where Robin Williams is actually in a classroom?
No, I think it's like he's like a terrorist known as the professor is kind of the
deal. That's his moniker?
Because he makes bombs. He's a professor who makes bombs.
He should be called the fucking engineer then.
It's a bomb factory. They're bombs.
But Bob Hoskins' character is married to Patricia Arquette, whose brother, therefore Bob Hoskins' brother-in-law, played by Christian Bale, who's Stevie, who is mentally handicapped. And
yes,
there's an investigation going on that Bob Hoskins is getting involved in. He wants to get his family out. What's the beginning there's a whole thing about like refugees, and I lost that.
So there's like an opening text that's basically just like in 1800s England.
People actually helped refugees.
London was a place that would welcome refugees in and kind of became like a hotbed of just like multiculturalism.
Boy, that's that
first and then
remnant of the time.
Yes.
Not struggling with that.
The movie quite literally says in 1880s London, refugees were welcome. And then there's like a parenthesis that deadass says like, unlike today.
Right. And this movie was in 96 yes. though. And so it's like this movie transcends not just from like 1888 to yes. 1986, but also 1888 to 2025. That was where, like, the very beginning of the movie, I'm like, oh, I wonder if I'm going to dig this movie. And then I didn't. But yes, it continues.
No, so that starts, and, like, quick step back, because the movie's directed by Christopher Hampton, who, Stuart, I would like to show you a modern picture of.
Good.
Look at that guy. His eyes are, like, one, like, degree. Like, if there was, like, a scale from 0 to 90... of how open your eyes could be. He's at one right now.
He has the perfect face where like he's the guy in the board meeting that you like every once in a while you like as you're giving your presentation you look at him and you can't quite tell if he's like falling asleep during the meeting.
Yeah, you can't tell if he's awake or not.
And it's like because he just his eyes are just naturally very like almost closed and so like it doesn't like the time frame it takes for him to be like eyes open to eyes closed is very short and very subdued. So it's like you can't really quite tell. It's just like. Yeah, and so like the PTS reports from 2024 quarter three, you know, as you can see with the way the marketing is going, and he's just like,
But he's a very acclaimed playwright. He's written a tremendous amount of plays, and then has been nominated for 3 Academy Awards for best screenplay, adapted screenplay.
Wow,
kind of in film, he adapts a lot of classical literature into a film. He got nominated for Dangerous Liaisons, Atonement, and The Father, which he won for Dangerous Liaisons and The Father. Mm. Father, incredible movie. Came out a few years ago with Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, recent?
Yes.
Oh. Recent. Oh, okay. The Anthony Hopkins. I haven't seen that movie.
You should watch it.
I've been here. Everyone's been telling me.
That movie is like, because it's about like an old man with Alzheimer's, essentially. Mm. And you expect the like, oh, that's going to be kind of like a boring weepy.
Mm-hmm.
That is like one of the scariest horror movies. Like uses the language of a horror movie.
The Father.
It's all from the man's perspective.
And from what I understand plot wise, he's suffering from Alzheimer's.
Yes.
Okay.
That's why. Yeah. So it's like he has Alzheimer's and the movie's entirely from his perspective.
Yeah.
So it's like he's just walking down a hallway and then like the camera shifts to the reverse shot and he's in a different location.
Oh.
Because it's like him, you know, kind of like phasing in and out, but it's using the language of horror film.
Oh.
So it's just like constantly people are peering around him. He doesn't know where he is.
So, and then 2 years later, I see that he came out with a 2022, The Son with Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, that was Hugh Jackman's like big, like serious actor play. Like to try and get an Oscar. And then it goes nowhere. Nobody likes it. And then like a month after it comes out, he announces he's coming back for Deadpool and Wolverine, which is like kind of the kick in the pants for him. But
this is this is roughly around the same time him and Sutton Foster have their affair.
Yeah.
From The Music Man.
Yeah. It's like Hugh Jackman, like his movie flops. He has an affair.
His marriage is falling apart.
He gets divorced, and then conveniently a month later announces he's coming back for his highest paying role as Wolverine.
Oh my god.
He publicly swore I will never do again.
Get that check. Get that fucking check. But to go back to the father, the son.
That's my favorite thing is that Ryan Reynolds is just like, yeah, Hugh just called me one day, and he was just like, I think I want to come back and play Wolverine. And, you know, it was just so wonderful that he had that revelation. And it's like, Ryan. Let's get serious now for a second. Hugh Jackman wasn't calling you for the goodness of his heart that he wanted to play Wolverine again.
Yeah, no, he wanted...
He was calling on business.
He needs to pay that alimony, yeah. Bro. But then to go back to the father and then two years later the son, I pray in my
what
bones.
What about the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. That we get the Holy Spirit, which is like not related to the plot of any of these two plays whatsoever, but it would just be really funny. Or just call like the uncle, or like called like the grandson,
yeah,
or the grandfather, or I don't know. Just we got. I want
the
sequels to this. Is the son good? Should I watch it after watching?
The son, it got bad reviews. People do not like the son.
Oh. But it's also got Anthony Hopkins in it. Is it a prequel?
No, it has nothing to do with it besides it's thematically connected.
Oh.
It is a thematic connection.
Wow, this is a disaster.
Okay.
So,
acclaimed playwright, wrote a bunch of plays, yes, and adapted a lot of
books and into film.
Screen
he directs
plays.
This movie because it's a classic Joseph Conrad novel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is this film adaptation of it.
Yeah.
And I know we had just started talking about the plot, so we can go right back into it.
Yeah,
first thing you see this movie is Robin Williams.
Yes, who is the titular? He is the mastermind behind this like terrorist plot that's being planned that somehow Bob Hoskins is wrapped up into that we don't know to what degree.
Yeah.
Until the end of how much he's wrapped up in it.
I'll just quickly say what his deal is.
Please.
Bob Hoskins is playing Verloc, who at the beginning here, we are led to believe is part of like a counterculture, like not terrorist cell, but like anarchist cell. It's like a group of anarchists.
Mm-hmm.
Gerard Depardieu is also in this anarchist group. And we think Bob Hoskins is like one of the founders of it. They're hosting their meeting in his shop.
Sorry.
What is unveiled as the movie continues on is that Bob Hoskins is actually an agent for Russia, for the Russian embassy, who is a spy planted within London to infiltrate the anarchist groups and find out what their deal is so that they cannot become a threat to Russia. And ultimately, Russia decides they want him to commit a terrorist act against the UK in the name of the anarchists so that Russia can convince the UK to get rid of the anarchists because they're mostly like Russian dissidents. They're like kind of like communists or not communists, but like dissidents who were in Russia, free thinkers, had to flee because of crackdowns. And that's more or less like what his deal is he's forced to play all sides of the room.
Cool. Great.
That's his deal.
Great.
So the beginning, like he's in this like meeting with all of his anarchist buddies. It's like him and Gerard Depardieu.
Mm-hmm.
And like a bunch of guys who we'll never see again. And they're all like, oh, the refugees.
And so as there's an inspector, the Jim Broadbent plays.
You're cutting right to Jim Broadbent?
Yes, I am cutting.
So let's jump in to Jim Broadbent. That's 45 minutes into this movie.
That's
when he shows up.
is the chief inspector because I missed like a bomb goes off in the park.
Well, we haven't got no.
Sorry, I've got Stuart.
No, okay. Take a knee. Take a knee.
They said Christian Bale.
Just like,
they said Christian
anarchist
Bale.
Meeting, Jim Broadbent bomb goes off. He's like,
wait. No, but they sent Christian Bale away.
No.
How far am I in now?
The opening of the movie, there's this. I was going to let you jump us a little ahead, but you flubbed it. So now I need to go through it again. Because as they're having this meeting, Patricia Arquette, who is Bob Hoskins' wife, named Winnie, and her brothers, her mentally challenged brother Stevie, played by Christian Bale, are taking their mother, played by Elizabeth Spriggs, to like her cousin's house or something. Because mm-hmm. the mom can no longer stand to stay with Verloc.
Mm-hmm.
Because she finds him distasteful. And so they take her away. They come back. We're setting it into this new domestic lifestyle between Verloc, Winnie, and Stevie. Verloc is summoned to the Russian embassy where he meets the Russian ambassador, played by Eddie Izzard mm-hmm. as Vladimir.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Izzard, a very like unexpected role for this as a British comedian of the time.
Right.
He's great, though. Love him. He's playing the Russian. He's like, so basically what we need you to do is we need to make these anarchists distasteful to Europe. So what you're going to do is wage war on science. He's basically like, the best approach is that we need to attack something non-political to make these people seem like Luddites, more or less.
Mm.
And so his argument is like, bomb the Greenwich Observatory. Because the Greenwich Mean Time is like, you attack time itself. Is his exact wording. And so he's like, all right, go figure out how to put a bomb in Greenwich. So Verloc goes off and he meets up with Robin Williams, plays the professor, who that was the first shot of the movie, just him kind of walking through a crowd on the street. But then this is like the actual next time we see him. Is he's, in there and he just gives Verloc a bomb. And then we jump ahead.
Mm.
The rest of the movie is like all flashbacks to what happens in between this cut.
Okay.
Because we find out from Gerard Depardieu playing Ossipon, who meets up with Robin Williams at a cafe.
Yeah.
And Ossipon, I'm just going to say Gerard Depardieu. It's just like, did you hear a bomb went off at Greenwich? And Robin's like, yeah, I know all about it. Ossipon's like, do you know whose bomb it was? And Robin was just like, yeah, it was Verloc. I sold it to him. I'll tell you. And Gerard Depardieu's like, why would he do that? It doesn't make sense. Why would he attack like the source of mean time?
Well, it's also like there only one person died.
Yeah, one person died. The bomb went off before it reached Greenwich.
Yeah.
And it just blew up the person who was carrying it. And you're led to assume it is Bob Hoskins.
Yeah.
Not the case. I figure out pretty quick who died in the bombing.
I did too.
Yeah. I was like pretty quick, like, yeah, I know who it actually was. Because we cut to Chief Inspector Heat by Jim Broadbent bringing the heat.
He's great in this.
When is he bad? When is he bad? The thing about Jim Broadbent is that like if you took the country of Britain, you put it into like a blender and then the concoction that came out, if you like poured it into like a human like mold, Jim Broadbent would emerge.
Yes.
Fully formed. Have you ever seen the poster for the movie he did a few years ago? I think it was called The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry. This is the most British ass movie poster I've ever seen in my life. Look at this thing.
Oh my God.
The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry. I am going to like one of those days just have a marathon of movies with titles like that. Like The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry, The Curious Case of Timothy Green. Just like all those like. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Movies with that fucking title structure. It's me, Jim Broadbent. I'm gonna have to take that out of you. I will figure out who did the bombing, sir. He goes to his like commissioner. He's like, I think I know who did the bombing, sir. I know it was Verloc. Like, I was just like, why don't you arrest him? He's like, Verloc is a source of mine. He's giving me insights into the anarchists and the Russian embassy. Yeah. I would rather pin it on someone else than lose him. Their plan is to, like, pin it on some other guy named Michaelis who we never meet in the movie.
Yeah.
And the assistant commissioner's like, I'm a man of truth. And decides he's going to, go out and sort it all out. And Jim Broadbent's trying to sort it all out himself. I think I do a decent broadband, right?
You do pretty good.
A decent broadband.
It's pretty good.
And like Patricia Arquette is just sitting at home, like not having any idea what's happening. Mm-hmm. We get this like horror shot of Bob Hoskins just appearing outside the window with like a lightning. And he's just, you look a little traumatized. And you're like, if you hadn't figured out yet, you figure out then.
I was going to say like you.
Because he's been bringing Stevie around a lot throughout that point.
You're going to jump right to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because like the rest, this is when Bob Hoskins just like starts eating roast beef. He just starts going fucking crazy on the roast beef.
He just starts stress eating roast beef. Yes. Roast beef. And it's very easy to understand, to know why he's doing that. Because then also Patricia Arquette's like, "Oi, where's Stevie?"
And he's like, "Stevie's on holiday." He's
"Stevie's on holiday."
She's like, "Where's Stevie?" And he like pulls out a knife and he's like cutting the roast beef. I keep coming back to it because it's just every time it cuts back to Bob Hoskins. He has like six more pieces of roast beef and he's just shoveling them in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
it becomes eventually the commissioner comes and takes Verloc away. And Verloc agrees to like basically like spill the tea on everything for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jim Broadbent shows up at their house and finds Patricia Arquette. "Do you know where Verloc went?" And she's like, "He went out with some fella. Looks like a little bit of a foreigner type." And he's like, "Oh, it's my commissioner. I know what's happening."
Yeah.
And so Verloc comes home after he had agreed to tell the commissioner everything. He's making plans to escape and leave the country, but he has to confess then and there to Patricia Arquette that Stevie was the one who died in the explosion.
Yeah.
Because his plan was to essentially use him as a suicide bomber.
Well, and I don't think he was planning to use him as suicide, but it was more so like he was telling
he had him place the bomb.
Yeah, but then he
trips on a root and the bomb just goes off and Christian Bale's like limbs get flung into a bunch of trees.
They cut to a shot. I'm not lying. They cut to a shot
head.
Of his head on a tree, which is pretty sick scene. Young Christian Bale.
And the reason that they find out is because Patricia had sewn into Christian Bale's jacket, "My name is Stevie. Please return to this address I found." And it's like, the cops are just like, "Well, that about solves it out then, doesn't it?" "We found the evidence, one of you boys. Pack it up. We're going back for biscuits and a pint."
And roast beef. Roast beef. Who ate all the roast beef?
Imagine you go back to like, you go to a crime scene, you're just like trying to solve it. There's like just a piece of parchment that just says, "My name is Stevie. Here's where I live." And they're like, "Oral." That's about it.
They followed the law by putting the confession parchment in the crime.
Yeah.
But
he confesses to her and she like refuses to look at him. She's so disgusted.
Yeah.
And she's like, "I love that boy." He's like, "I love that boy too." As he's shoveling roast beef in. She's like munching.
God.
He's like protein maxing. Isn't that what the kids are doing nowadays or something like that?
What?
Aren't people like, only eating protein now?
Are you talking about the carnivore diet?
It's not specifically the carnivore diet. It's like, just look up like, it's like the high protein diet or something like that.
Protein maxing refers to the practice of optimized protein intake to support specific, it's just eating meat.
But it's like called protein maxing or something.
I'm getting so sick and tired of like not coming up with new things, just renaming them new things. Like, aura farming. You're vibing.
And vibing is just standing cool.
And vibing is just chilling.
Yes.
And chilling is just hanging.
Yes.
And hanging is just, I don't know.
Yes.
Existing.
Always. So like they get into a fight and Patricia Arquette kills Bob Hoskins. She stabs Verloc.
Well, because she like sneaks up to him and like pretends she's going to like kiss him, and then she stabs him in the heart
for killing her brother.
And Bob Hoskins does this great role where he like looks at her, he's like,
and then he just shoves like a roast beef in his mouth, falls to the ground.
"You beat me to the punch." Yeah. I was gonna say, yeah. And then he just collapses, dies. And then she gets on a carriage.
She gets on a
train,
and then we cut to her on a boat.
Well, but where does the
No, I can lay this out for
okay.
you.
Okay. I was going to say, where does Gerard...
We cut to her on a boat.
Okay.
And she's just sitting there. And then we get this kind of fun, like, Steadicam shot around her where she... Like, we go behind a pillar and she disappears. It becomes evident she has jumped off the side of the boat. And we go back to there where she was sitting and her wedding ring is just laying there.
Mm.
Then we cut to Gerard Depardieu in a cafe reading a newspaper
that says,
woman commits suicide jumping off boat, more or less. Robin Williams comes over and sits down with him.
Yeah.
Also, note, Robin Williams earlier in the movie gave this like lecture or like this monologue basically on how he why he's a true anarchist who believes in nothing essentially. And one of his like ways of displaying this is he always carries a bomb on him strapped to his chest.
Yeah.
And with a trigger in his pocket that he perpetually keeps his hand around. And he always feels the urge to squeeze it when he's in a crowded space.
Just a psychopath.
Yeah, he's just like a psychopath, more or less.
Yeah.
And he comes back to hang out with Gerard Depardieu. They each have a pint. And Gerard Depardieu kind of lays out like what had just happened. We flash back again to right after Bob Hoskins' death. Patricia Arquette found him.
I didn't clock the amount of flashbacks.
Said that she wanted to abscond with him out of the country because she has all of Verloc's money.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets them a train, but Gerard Depardieu cannot leave, like doesn't want to leave.
But isn't there like a reveal that like Gerard Depardieu and Patricia Arquette have been a thing all along because they make out?
They've like secretly wanted to is like the reveal.
Oh.
And so they abscond together, they get in a train, but then Gerard Depardieu jumps off the train right as it's pulling away, sending Patricia Arquette off on her own, eventually leading to her committing suicide. Gerard Depardieu is now sad and alone in this cafe with Robin Williams, who they have like a little bit of a philosophical discussion. I need to pull up his quote because
He does have a great line reading of it. Like I will give him that.
He says, "Pull yourself together. Remorse is for the weak, and weakness is the source of all evil on this earth. There's a time coming, and it's going to be sooner rather than later, when this will be understood by governments and individuals." That there can be no progress and no solutions until you make a rational decision to exterminate the weak. And then his final line, the final line of the movie is him saying, "I myself have no future, but I am a force to the destruction of what is," raises a glass, finishes it, and walks out. That's the last line of the movie. Basically, Robin Williams is like playing like the living manifestation of like death in this movie.
Yeah.
Which is very cool. He does a very good job at it.
Yeah.
He's basically just playing like anarchy and death in its like peak form. He walks away down the crowd and he starts losing his mind and then he squeezes the trigger. And the movie cuts to black before we see the explosion.
But
the implication is that he explodes and kills the crowd around him. Like eventually this violence that started with state sanctioned activity has escalated to just wanton acts of terrorism.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the through line of this movie is like state acts of violence will lead to but that's the plot. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the Coen Brothers movie Burn After Reading?
No.
So I was thinking about that a lot during this movie. That's a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But that movie ends with like throughout the movie there's like these periodic check-ins with J.K. Simmons, who's playing like the head of the intelligence community in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And they're constant and it's like always like one of his guys like coming in and explaining to him the plot of the movie. And J.K. Simmons just being like, "What the fuck are you talking about? Like, none of this makes any sense. What are you doing?" The movie is about like the intelligence community just like not making any sense and being funny.
Okay.
And then the end of the movie is like the guy comes in and is like, "Okay, so here's what happened at the end of the movie, J.K. I'm going to tell you all of like how the characters all resolved." And he's like, "So George Clooney fled to Brazil," and J.K. Simmons is like, "Why'd he do that?" And they're like, "He thought we were coming after him." He's like, "Well, we weren't, but leave him there." It's like, "Well, she fled to Russia to try and like sell this information." He's like, "Is the information valuable?" "No." "Okay." And then it like just ends with J.K. Simmons just being like, "What did we learn today? We learned not to do it again." And like that's the thesis of the movie. So it's like none of this made any fucking sense. It was all pointless. It's great. And I just like wish there was a coda at the end of this movie where we cut to Jim Broadbent sitting in his office and he's like, "What did we learn? Not to do any of it again." Because none of that worked out.
Oh, my God.
Basically, there was a failed terrorist bombing against Greenwich. A bunch of people got killed in the anarchist cell, and then a suicide bomber went off in a random street.
I could not stay awake during this movie, man.
I enjoy it. And I thought it was like a low key, like kind of just like a vibe.
5 out of 10. Robin Williams is good.
Robin Williams good.
I mean, all the performances. There wasn't like a bad performance in this movie. God rest Christian Bale's soul.
Yeah.
There wasn't. Like, I thought all the performances were good. I like, you know, like 19th century London vibes, man.
It's good.
When is that bad?
It's always good.
When, like, listen, the thing is, like, we've watched a lot of garbage movies that they're like, how do we make this movie good? Set it in 19th century London.
Yeah.
and it's like, it does elevate it.
Yeah. It has good production value.
Like, I'm not saying every 19th century London movie is good. I'm just saying 19th century London set dressing never hurts your movie.
Yeah. It definitely, it's always a benefit.
It's always a benefit.
Remember when Jumanji started with it for no apparent reason?
Yes. Yes. And it made the movie a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that's it came out in 6 screens. It made no money.
Yeah, it made like a dollar.
It made like a dollar. No one really knows about this movie. We had to watch it on Hoopla. And yeah, I mean,
it does have a pretty good score by Philip Glass. I just want to shout that out.
Oh, okay.
When's he bad?
Yeah, when's he bad? And this is just one of, you know, we're getting to like the mid 90s point in Robin's career where the man is like, ever since like 1991, Robin Williams has been doing like basically like 4 to 5 movies a year.
Yeah.
Like the man is nonstop working.
And this is another example of him going uncredited because he doesn't want people to not take the movie seriously because he's in it.
Right, exactly. This won't be the only period piece because next week is when we're going to talk about, we are reuniting with an old friend, not an old friend that we
William
covered.
Shakespeare.
We're reuniting with Kenneth Branagh.
Yes.
In Hamlet for our second Kenneth Branagh Shakespeare adaptation movie on this podcast.
Second?
Wait.
It wasn't Shakespeare. We did do another Branagh, but we didn't do a Shakespeare.
It wasn't Shakespeare. It was the one about the...
Dead Again.
It's not Shakespeare.
Hamlet.
I'm not crazy. Branagh's known for like...
He does a lot of Shakespeare.
He does a lot of Shakespeare.
This is our second Shakespeare, though. Never forget Looking for Richard.
Looking for Richard.
Was that what it was called, right?
Yeah. Looking for Richard. I'm still looking.
Yeah, I'm still trying to find... Remember that part in that movie where it was Al Pacino like going up to people on the street, but what do you know about King Lear? It's just like, get away from me, homeless man. It's like, officer, stop him.
Oh my God.
No one in this country knows anything about Shakespeare anymore. So I'm going to tell them about Shakespeare.
I'm looking forward to Hamlet.
Have you looked at the cast for that?
I have. I have. Do you have any final thoughts on this movie?
My final thought in this movie is it was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
It's kind of a sleeper for me. But anyway, if you liked this episode, obviously with the short length that it is, we didn't have too much to talk about in this movie.
Yeah, no, it was.
It's. I mean, like, even if it's like a 7 out of 10 for Jeff, but like, there's just also just not a lot of stuff in it.
Yeah, no, it's a small movie.
Small movie. So yeah, if y'all like this episode, please remember to rate, review, comment, like, and subscribe whatever platform you're listening on. If you didn't like this episode because it was only a 45-minute podcast, just send out your complaints to
above the title at Instagram.
At Instagram or whitehouse.gov. Real Donald Trump. And send them all your complaints about how bad our episode was. And as always, special thanks to Rebecca Johnson for the graphic design and Michael Van Bodega Smith for the theme music. This is taking you out. See you all next week for Hamlet.
¿Buscas las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's? ¡Estás justo a tiempo! Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. ¿Estás pensando ya en poner luces navideñas? Aprovecha ahorros de hasta 50% en escaleras selectas. Precios de Black Friday sin las filas de Black Friday. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Válido hasta el 11-19. Selección varía por tienda. Solo en tiendas selectas hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.